Joining us in the studio today are resident foodies. Erica Bishop is the former executive producer of the Food Network. Today, she's the owner of the Pot Rack in Jacksonville, Oregon, and also writes a food column for the Southern Oregon Magazine. Hi, Erica.
Hello, good morning.
Also joining is food stylist extraordinaire William Smith, who also hosts Savor Podcast right here on the Jefferson Exchange. Welcome, Will.
Right after we finish this.
Okay, that's right.
Extraordinaire. Whoa. Okay. I didn't get a nice adjective like that.
Well, you're the producer extraordinaire, but, you know.
Okay.
Okay, so now, you know, I can't think of October without at least a wink and a nod to Halloween.
Sure.
Right, so it's not exactly the culinary event of the year, but there's always the candy. So before we dive into October produce, seasonal favorites, and so on, I thought we could begin this spooky eats segment with Halloween.
Yeah,
and you know, fall has, I don't know, for me it has such a strong nostalgic feel to it. Mm-hmm. And shorter, cooler, windy days. The sun is still warm, but it's low in the sky. And
yesterday, super windy, and there were just these swirls of leaves going around.
Yeah, pretty magical.
What a bluebird day, though. That was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. Today, too.
Yeah. I went for a ride on my bike later in the afternoon when the wind stopped.
Yeah, right.
Because it kind of acts like a natural break, which isn't fun when you're cycling.
Sure.
So it's a period of transitions, basically. And Halloween is really a great way to mark that, right?
Sure.
And I just wanted to sort of reminisce a little bit, and we could talk about some of our – for me, I have my favorite Halloween flavor, or sort of quintessentially Halloween flavor in my mind. And that comes from when we moved to Vancouver when I was a kid, and in Kitsilano, I used to go around with my brothers, and I was 5 or 6 years old in a sheet, you know, just a traditional ghost with a pillowcase for candy. And one of the things they gave us was this strange sort of taffy. It was a beige color. It was wrapped in orange wrappers, and I could never quite identify the flavor, but for me, it was Halloween. Mm. And I haven't had it in decades, and I miss it. And it turns out that in Canada, it's kind of the candy.
It's like a go-to.
Yeah, it's a go-to, but it's kind of the Halloween candy that people love to hate.
Sure.
And it's molasses taffy.
Oh, that sounds good, though.
It is good, but it's weird.
Yeah, I bet. It's kind of an adult flavor, that molasses.
I wish she was an adult when she was 5.
Yeah. Exactly. I was very mature for my age.
Exactly.
So how about you guys? Erica?
Well, I'm going to go straight off book on that one. Chili is what I think of when I think of Halloween.
Wow. I love that.
My parents made a big pot of chili on Halloween, and cornbread, and you know, hot apple cider. And that's what we knew we were going to come home to.
That's
or
great.
Maybe that's what we'd eat before we left.
Right.
And might even be the only time of the year that we ate chili. But it was like, so that was like a big treat.
Yeah, I bet.
And all the friends would come over after. Because I'm one of those weird people where I loved the holiday of Halloween and the festiveness of it, but I don't like sweets. Even as a child, I didn't really enjoy candy all that much.
Candy cigarettes?
Well, those were fun, but I didn't eat them. And to this day, I am not a big candy eater. And so everybody loved to go trick-or-treating with me.
Because they got yours.
Because I gave it all away, except for what my sister stole, perhaps.
I do remember a few years there, like in the late 60s, we would get a ton. A full pillowcase.
Full pillowcase.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was the only time of year I could eat that much candy. Like we didn't have a lot of sugar in the house. But Halloween, somehow.
It was a go-for-it time.
It was.
So I would pick out everything that was sour. I liked anything sour. And I liked licorice.
Yum.
So that's what I would keep.
That's very adult, too.
I know. We're the same. So that was my childhood. And looking back on it, I didn't even think about this until Natalie and I were talking about it. But many of my costumes were food-centric.
Oh, that's too funny.
Who would have even – I didn't – so one year I was a box of popcorn. I was a bunch of grapes.
That is so great.
I was a pickle.
Very good.
And a hot dog. So, you know, like what was in my brain at those early, in those early days?
Already.
Yeah.
Thinking about food.
Yeah, I was all about Hammer films, which were, you know, English gothic horror films. So I was either vampire was often witch. But I had a great neighborhood. I grew up at the beach in South Mission in San Diego, and it's a little, you know, peninsula, two blocks wide with one main street down it. And there were many families that had many children, and they went all out on Halloween, and it was all within, like, five blocks.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, amazing, you know, catch on the candy scene. Great Halloween carnival at my... at my elementary school, Mission Beach Elementary, no longer exists. And I won some sort of award. I don't know if it could have been musical chairs or
something very athletic.
Exactly. And guess what the gift was? This was fifth grade.
An apple.
I received a 6-inch long buck knife in a leather, and I still have it, in a leather, like, presentation case.
Okay.
That's obviously not happening
That's
now.
That's not happening today.
But I still treasure it to this day. It's brass and wood inlaid.
Wow.
With a 6-inch blade. Different times.
You're listening to JX Foodie on the Jefferson Exchange with guests Erica Bishop and Will Smith. So, Will, Halloween, food styling,
yeah.
I see a perfect match there.
That's a very scary memory. So almost 20 years in New York City, I worked a lot for Parents Magazine and Family Circle Magazine. And
oh, wow, you did it.
Good Housekeeping. And so I have a lot of expertise in those crazy kids, like kids' party food. Witch's fingers with your little pretzels that are dipped in frosting, and then you put a sliced almond on the end for nail. They look great. Many things you can do with puff pastry. You can do wrap up a little Vienna sausage, or what is that called?
Like a pups,
pups and
pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket,
yeah.
Right? But
not
you wrap it up.
Puppies in a blanket.
Right. It's like you wrap it up like a mummy. You can also wrap, for the adults, you can wrap up brie with strips of puff pastry and make a mummy that way.
Oh, and put a cranberry sauce inside. It would look like blood.
Exactly.
Yes. Right,
one of my favorites, kind of, I don't know if it was during my period. It could have been a little bit post, but, you know, that hockey mask from Friday the 13th?
Mm-hmm.
You can do deviled eggs. But flip them with the white side up and then use a straw and make the little holes for the hockey mask.
Oh, wow.
And
wow, that's
so
a great idea.
You serve it upside down and it looks like
that
guy from that movie.
I have to do that for my grandkids. That's a good one.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Jalapeno poppers, you can wrap the jalapenos in puff pastry too. Delicious. A lot of things.
Yeah.
Those are like fun memories, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, when I was... with the Food Network, Halloween was definitely scary.
Big deal.
Scary place to be. We were on the 39th floor on 6th Avenue in a studio that we had no business being in, but we didn't have a studio. So we took a business space and turned it into, you know, a fake studio where we shot for many years. But on Halloween, the kitchen was the place to be, where all of our prep cooks were. And everybody was dressed up, but they would create spooky things like fingers and brains and, you know, intestines and whatnot. And they would just leave it on your desk. Or like, you know, like they called you into a meeting and there was like a brain on the chair, you know, or, you know, just it was just very random and very festive. It was so much fun. I looked forward to the day and I dreaded it at the same time.
No, that's like all the holidays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, my God. This just turned.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I've – well, there's definitely an aesthetic to Halloween, right, to this season. Mm. It's really I find it sort of a study in contrasts because after sort of the, you know, the colors and greens and everything with spring and summer, we come to a period where we have sort of duller grass and deciduous trees and leaves are falling. And then you have all these rich colors, sort of vibrant oranges, and it's like the produce is trying to make up for all the dullness around.
I love, like a week ago we had that, you know, 2 days of that heavy fog,
right?
And that was like that was like October 1st, I think. Yeah, the whole lighting kind of changes. I mean, even yesterday that it was warm, the light is much lower.
Much lower. It's still warm, but it's lower.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of wind, and the nights are longer, and days are shorter.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
My favorite time.
Yeah. I'm just really always struck by the palette.
Yeah.
You know, the oranges and yellows and deep greens and black and...
And long shadows.
And long shadows.
Mm, that's nice. That's poetic.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it also kind of pulls you towards that produce and makes you want to eat it. And I wonder if, you know, you kind of, it's almost like, how would you say, you know, you see all these arrays of pumpkins and squashes and almost rhythmic patterns. Mm-hmm. And they're very attractive. They make you, and so it's just... I don't know. I start when I see that, I start thinking comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
And I start thinking,
turn the oven on.
Yeah, turn on the oven, casseroles and all of that. What do you think about when you think about food?
in the span of the whole year, September I think is probably the highlight of the year produce wise. Mm-hmm. And October has to be a close second. So pears, apples, you're getting all those great kind of bitter things, radicchio, Belgian endive.
Endive.
Got cabbage, escarole, kale. I love leeks, the root vegetables. I'm not a huge squash person, but there are several things that I like to do with butternut squash. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the market is still beautiful to go visit.
It's just the arrays of all of these vegetables. Yeah. I don't know. I find it really attractive. It always makes me want to stop and look at them and take pictures.
There's something, you know, I love when people do the, you know, little harvest collection on their porch.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the white squash and then the next to the striped one and the
And
bright
don't forget
orange.
Don't forget the witch that looks like it slammed into the tree. I always look forward to that.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. I do love pumpkin, actually. I'm a squash person. I do love it. Yep. And my mom used to make this thing that as a kid I didn't care. Nobody liked it except for her, so she would make it for herself. But it was like this thick souffle of pumpkin. It was savory, sweet. And now I miss it, and I don't know how to make it.
Right.
And she's gone, and I don't have it now. So I have this memory. It wasn't pumpkin spice or anything. It was quite kind of European in flavors. But it went with savory. You could eat it hot, cold, you know, whatever. And it just, there's something so comforting about that food.
We have to find that, because that sounds good.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's eggy, so it's kind of souffle-like, but not really, and custard somewhere in there.
Okay.
That's like one of my favorite cheesecakes is a pumpkin cheesecake.
Oh, yeah.
It's just those two, that quality of the interior is so beautiful with a pureed pumpkin.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's silky. Yummy. It must be really silky when it's on cheesecake. Yeah, this had more of a structure to it because it was eggy. It might have had cream. Anyway, she had a mold that was pumpkin colored. It would go in the oven, and she made it for herself all the time. And you know, she'd keep offering it to us kids. My brother, hey, do you want some? And we're like, yeah, no, not really. And now I'm like, oh, I wish I knew how to make that.
Yeah.
Oh,
darn.
Yeah.
I find this time of year also, I gravitate more to salads in the strangest way.
Yeah.
Because of what you can put on top of it, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Some of the things I love, you know, like I love a good kale salad.
Sure.
But, you know, it takes time. You have to massage it. You have to give it some love. But it's the toppings, because you can go a little bit heartier and more aggressive with blue cheese and
seeds
nuts
and
seeds that are roasted and, you know, breads that are maybe
that
pan-fried
too.
Or, you know, just sort of a more hearty kind
apple of apple and celery root and matchsticks.
In a kale salad.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want that right now.
It is good.
Will, you were mentioning celery root. Now, that's not very common. A lot of people don't know how to prepare it.
It's always in a really sad part of the grocery store. It's alone with, like, cobwebs on it. So it's perfect for October.
So it's a Halloween treat.
So, but One of the reasons that I went to cooking school is there used to be a little place in Hillcrest in San Diego, and it was a little French cafe, and they always had celery root remoulade. And I'd never had it before. You know, it's nothing much to look at. It's essentially white with mayonnaise, capers, and cornichons. It is the most beautiful flavor. It's like, you know, celery on steroids. So it's much fuller celery flavor. It has a beautiful texture. It's fresh. It almost tastes green, but it, you know, it's not. It is the actual root of the celery. And I find it such a fantastic flavor. And there's a million ways that you can prepare it.
What's your favorite?
I love a remoulade, which is like what just got me really interested in food. But anytime you're making, anywhere you're going to use celery, you can use the celery root because it just amplifies that flavor. So you can roast it with roasted vegetables.
Mm, that sounds good.
Absolutely delicious. You can add it to any kind of soup or stew.
I was going to say, you can, instead of celery, you just put
it. It just amplifies that flavor, and it's just, I've always loved celery. You can slice it using a mandolin. You can slice it in like little triangle wedges and then roast them and make chips out of it.
Really?
Yeah, which is super healthy. And again, it's that crunchy, salty celery flavor.
So you could have a dip or something.
Yes, so good. One thing that I also like to do is mix it when you're doing a like scalloped potatoes. Mm-hmm. Do half potatoes and half celery root.
There you go.
Ooh.
It is really amazing flavor.
That must be a robust flavor.
Yeah.
It's got to be super rich.
Yeah, it's absolutely delicious. you can also, something that you can't, that you don't think often about it, is add it with some potato and mash it, like a mashed potato, and put that as a bed for like roast halibut or cod, or and that fish with that celery flavor is pretty amazing.
Oh, right. So I've done that with other roots.
Yeah.
But not celery.
Yeah, can I tell you, I've always liked baby food. there is something about a pureed anything.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, I'm really lazy.
I have to just share this real quickly. Yeah. My son had a wisdom teeth pulled out tooth this week.
Yeah.
His older brother went and got him food make him, you know, that he could eat.
Yeah.
He brought home jars of baby food
for
my 21-year-old son, who now says, "Did you know it's really inexpensive and delicious?"
Hello.
I'm like, college student.
College student.
And you don't have to waste any energy in chewing.
Well, no. I think that's the point.
It's also the ultimate in comfort, right?
There's
that feeling of comfort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I especially love a celery root mash. I've never had it as
yummy.
Celery root. So everybody try
that.
You
think of parsnips first, I think. But you would use it the same way.
And you could mix it. Like, I would love to do like squash, carrot. I also like turnips and rutabagas, but all those like rooty things all mixed together in a mix in the oven, just with olive oil, salt, and pepper, and squeeze a lemon.
And a little bit, you could do it as a gratiné too, right? With like Gruyere or something. Right? Like sort of a
that gratin with the half potatoes, half celery roots. Is amazing.
Mm. Oh, that sounds absolutely good. Now I'm starving.
Okay. Right? That's what October brings.
Yeah, it sure does.
Some coworker said, she goes, "October irritates me." I said, "Why?" She goes, "Suddenly I'm hungry and sleepy all day." And that's that change of, that change of
rhythm.
Right? Totally.
You're totally changed. I mean, you're getting ready to hibernate.
Right.
Right? And so you're filling up on all that comfort food and ready to kind of hibernate. Just a moment, please. You're listening to JX Foodie on the Jefferson Exchange, and I'm Natalie Golay, and my guests are Erica Bishop and Will Smith, and we're talking about spooky eats in October. And one of the more versatile fall crop that, you know, we cannot leave out of this conversation is apples.
Mm-hmm. And pears.
I have the fondest memories of homemade warm apple sauce. Mm. It was pink because even though, it was pink.
I love that when it does that.
It's just, I love it. It's gorgeous. And there's so many sweet, savory options with apples.
Yeah. But when I said I didn't eat candy, I make an exception for carameled apples. Oh my gosh, I love caramel apples.
Yes, yeah, so do I.
Love them. And, you know, especially with nuts, rolled in nuts.
That's a good, like, I grew up next to an amusement park, and they had caramel apples.
Sure they did.
So good. That's a funny, I hadn't thought about that in years.
I know. I didn't either. But they're so fun to make and delicious.
Yeah. And it also reminds me of, like, you know, go out there and support your school carnivals, too, because they always have them at a carnival.
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, now I know where to go get them.
Exactly.
And so do you prefer, like, the soft caramel or hard caramel on the apple? I've seen both.
Well, I like the soft, and
yeah,
I like a very sour apple, obviously, with that. Not the sweet on sweet is no bueno for me.
And if it's too floury, it doesn't work either. You know, if it's like mealy, apple, I find that then the ratio just doesn't work, the caramel to the apple.
Yeah, it has to be super crispy.
Yeah, juicy.
Juicy and sour. A green apple is great. Granny.
Yeah. Love that.
Oh, yeah.
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 See, we're the generation that we actually bobbed for apples. That's like a no-no now.
It is?
It is?
I think so.
Oh, probably because you're sharing the same
post-COVID.
Oh, right.
Oh, I get it.
Right.
I just thought that would be okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking all about
change the water in between.
I'm thinking about all my carnival activities. So funny.
Well, another way to cook apples is a tarte-tatin.
Oh, my gosh. I love tarte-tatin.
The best.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, best.
And you can only make it in the fall, honestly, because I said so.
Because you said so. Yeah.
And also a pear version is also fantastic.
Fantastic.
I used to make that too.
And it's pretty simple. I mean, it's just a pastry, sugar, butter.
Yeah.
It's cooked upside down. It's cooked upside down in a pan and then goes into the oven, as I understand.
And then you flip it on the way out.
Right. I mean, we used to have it. My grandparents in France used to make it, and my great aunt. Mm-hmm. And my great aunt's name was Taton.
Nice.
So I thought that it was her tarte. That was tarte Taton, not Tatin. And so until very recently, I realized it was an actual thing outside of her tarte.
She really invented it.
Maybe she did. Who knows?
Yeah. I do love it, though, and I think I'm going to make that this week.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Have you guys ever been out harvesting apples, picking apples?
My gosh. When my kids were little, all the time. And when I grew up in Michigan until I was 14, and there was a lot of apple picking going on.
Yeah.
Macintosh apples were the apple of choice in Michigan at that time. And it's funny, I don't see Macintosh apples out here. Do you?
I want to say I have.
Okay. Well, all right. I'm going to go look.
Yeah, especially right now. But you find them now.
Okay, yeah.
Somebody's got to have them.
Well, I used to dislike apples. Just didn't like them as a kid. And
that's weird.
I like them cooked, but not...
I mean, you know,
I know,
like
right?
I
couldn't stand raw apples. I liked cooked,
but not
raw. But... in more recent years, I discovered it was also that I didn't know the variety of apples.
Sure.
And so I have found raw apples that I adore.
Right.
I just hadn't had a good one, basically. And so cooked, it always worked for me, you know.
I love a cosmic crisp.
Ooh.
I like that gala. That's a good one. But I got to say, apples have kind of gone the way of dogs. You know, in that
I know exactly what you mean.
Okay, like, you know... doodles.
And grapes, too.
And grapes. Okay. Like, you know, because they're going to inbreed all of these varieties to come up with. You've seen the ones now? They're called, like, rocket apples, and they're teeny tiny.
Oh, no.
And they pack this huge flavor punch, but they're, like, as big as a crab apple.
Huh.
But sweet.
That sounds good, too.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, one thing that I find is that as soon as I see these really huge apples, I don't want one. You know, they don't have flavor.
Right.
They don't have the texture I want. You know, the closer they are to to smaller, compact.
Yes.
That's a good apple.
Yeah. No, I can't say anything bad about an apple.
No. And for those of you out there who love apples, don't forget that Apple Harvest Festival is coming up in McLeod on October 11th.
Nice.
In McLeod, California.
McLeod is a cool place. I bet that's a fun festival.
I bet it is. I used to go to the Lumberjack one down there. And so it's a fun.
What a good idea. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
That would be a great.
I'm in.
Okay.
What else is going on around the valley?
Well, what else is going on is a number of things We have the Grants Pass Tap Walk.
Yep.
And we have a
Bear Creek Salmon Festival.
Salmon Festival. Yeah.
Fort Vinoy has a corn maze until the 28th.
Klamath Basin Potato Festival.
Yep.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And shout out to Bellevue Elementary. They're having their Halloween carnival on the 25th.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, our parade here in Ashland.
Oh, yeah. Spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite things. And you know what? I want to give a shout out to our friends at all of the many wineries in the Rogue Valley. They are wrapping up harvest or starting or whatever. Mm. You know, it's just been an intense fall for all of them.
Right.
And we wish them the best and can't wait to taste that 25.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. And so I want to extend my thanks to Erica Bishop and Will Smith for coming on the show once again and making us all hungry.
Yay. Happy Halloween.
Yeah. Happy Halloween. And-